Blog Talk Radio.
Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is indeed my honor to host this show, which brings such incredible individuals, the true leaders in our communities that are in the trenches doing the work, but you may not know their names. So it gives me a great deal of pleasure to be able to introduce them to you. And tonight is no different. She's been on here with us before, but she has just this burning desire to share with you guys tonight. And I'm excited that she's choosing to do it, to premiere it right here on Life, Love, and Wellness. Whew. Okay, before I get too excited, so, you know, there's a couple of things that we do to make sure that we're energetically balanced with one another and we're able to receive the message and hear the message that's being given to us by our incredible guests. So let's do those couple of activities, and then we'll get into the actual show itself. So the first thing that we always do here on Tuesday nights, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is that we give thanks to our ancestors. We acknowledge, we appreciate, and we love our ancestors and the lessons that they taught us, either through physical demonstration or by the language that they used in explaining to us what was acceptable and what wasn't. So the ancestors are always still available to us. Whenever we call on them, they're there to help us. And so we utilize them on Tuesdays, that energy of the ancestors, because we know that for the most part, we're bringing to the forefront subjects that are not commonly discussed in our community. And so we're very proud of that, but we know that it takes the strength of the ancestors to get us through. So thank you, ancestors, because I know we would not be able to do it without them. Whew, give thanks. So the next thing is coming together again energetically. And I share a reading from my daily inspirational messages, which can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. And so the message that I'm reading today is called Good Spirit, G-O-O-D, Good Spirit. We are never separated from our Creator, from Holy Spirit. We may have a tendency to behave in a manner that is unlike our source, infinite intelligence. However, we are always connected. We may want to do or act in a way that tells others we belong to that group while feeling deep inside of us a disconnection from God, Goddess. We are sometimes cast into relationships to help and other times to simply learn a lesson from the situation. As we allow ourselves to fully participate, we will know the answer in our due time. Nothing happens by chance. Be ever mindful of your spirit. I release all that may hinder me from enjoying a good spirit connection. I may be required to loosen some conditions that I thought I needed to be a complete person. I may even find myself in new arenas of work or enjoyment. When we surrender to the will of God, Goddess, the blessings are too numerous to count and too incredible to be limited by our imaginations. And that's part of the reading for Good Spirit. And again, you can find that at RevSandy.wordpress.com. And if you subscribe, they'll be delivered to your email address on a daily basis. And they post pretty early, like 12 o'clock Western or Pacific time. And so that's like 3 o'clock here. So they're usually posted no later than 4 a.m. every day. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us. It's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight, like I told you, we're kicking off, we're premiering a product, and I'm so, so excited to be the one that Sister Ama Kiasu has trusted us with being able to showcase her newest tool that we can use to get to that place about good spirit, right? To get to that place of being able to make these connections with our families, with our friends, and to be able to demonstrate how we got to have faith in what we're being told to do. And you'll get that when she comes on and tells a little bit more about her story. So again, I am incredibly pleased and honored that she chose to come on the show here with us to explain this new product that I think is going to really, really be a valuable, valuable instrument and tool for us to use in our families. So audience, you know you're always invited to join in our discussion, and all comments are welcome. And every voice that would like to be heard, it is our intention that you will be heard. So in order to be live on the show with us talking, you would need to call in at the 516-531-9819. And once you call into the number, you must hit the number 1 on whatever device you're on. So there is a two-step. Call the number and then hit the 1. And to ensure the best playback, say that real quick, the best playback possible, this may be a show that you would want to go back and listen to again. Indeed, we have others that are always listening to the shows over and over and over again. So once your line has been opened, if you do choose to make a comment or ask a question, just mute your phone for us so that those that go back for the playback will have a good quality of sound. And that's all we are asking of you. Then you can always take yourself off mute if, in fact, you have something additional you would like to say. And if you would like to be able to go and listen to any of the shows, we are in our 11th year now. You can do that by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. And that's SandyRogers. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a quick music break, And then when we come back, it is my honor and pleasure to bring on my sister in spirit, always possible. I'm a Kiasu Turban House. So we'll be right back, you guys, and start our show.
Somewhere good things gonna happen to those that patiently wait. So I'ma wait. I believe that love is the one thing that you need natural when it comes to your mate. And I wanna mate.
Started off talking about that good spirit, right? And what could be better of a good spirit than love? And so that's my nephew, in case you've never heard him before. His name is Anthony, a.k.a. King. And that is one of his original tunes that he recorded and produced. And I'm so proud of him. And his music is always so fulfilling, you know, of your spirit. And so I just wanted to make sure that I give honor to him as well. He's done so much for me musically and supportive and all of that, you know, things that we stand in need of when we're starting to do something new outside of, you know, those customary things, right? So I give a shout out to him. And check him out. He's on AnthonyAKKing.com, and you can listen to all of his music. It's really fabulous. All right. Here we come to the magic hour. So Ama Kiasu Turban House is a sister, a friend, an innovator, a creator, a community development. And so she wears all of these hats. She's a mother. She is back here laughing. No, but seriously, she's a wife. She's a daughter, just a beautiful, beautiful spirit. And so, God, it's been so many years ago. I think I met her like in my first couple of years of being in Atlanta, and we've just been, you know, touching base every now and then to see how each other's doing and being a cheerleader for each other. And so it brings me so much joy to bring her before you tonight as she talks to us about the book, her book, Buried Treasure, and some of the lessons that she's learned in promoting that and what she has currently working on, what she is currently working on to better utilize the essence of the book, Buried Treasure. Mm-hmm. So without mm-hmm. me going on and on and on, I'm going to bring Ama Kiasu to the mic and let her share with you guys tonight who she is, what she would like for you to know, and well, I'm going to just hand the mic over to her. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have this time with you again. It's very special because you're special and you're beautiful. So, you know, any conversation that I have with you is always enriching and, you know, spiritually uplifting. So back to that this evening as well. Even though it's about my book, it's through you. So it's a really good thing. The title of my book is Buried Treasure, Unearth Your Golden Soul. You know, that title went through several iterations, and, you know, you should have seen me while I was trying to figure out the title of the book. But I knew that I wanted it to speak to that which is deep within us, which is often covered, you know, like we don't mm-hmm. see it, we don't feel it. It's we have distractions, and so we have this beautiful light within that is often not seen. You know that there's this saying, Reverend Sand, you probably know it. That bushel is covering the light. You know, what's
right,
that
right.
under the bushel? What's that under the bushel? And so, what I hope this book does is entreat people or enable people to uncover, you know, the light, to share the light, spread the light that is who they are. This is who we all are, all imbued with the light of our source, of God, of the divine presence. We all have it. And it's a challenge in this world, in this physical world, on this physical plane, to shine our light, because, you know, we got so much going on. We're busy. We're in a hurry. We're upset. We're hurt. All those things cover us. You know, they don't allow the light to shine. So that's what my book is about. What I'd like to do is I'll read a couple of quotations and, you know, kind of deepen on them a little bit. But what I want to say, what Reverend Sandy was talking about, is this idea that I had. You know, I had this idea, and I actually called Reverend Sandy to talk about it. And the next thing I knew, she was inviting me to be on the radio. And I was like trying to figure out how I was going to roll out this idea on the radio, and I hadn't really fully developed it, but it is what I want to do. It is important to me. You know, I wrote a book, but the biggest thing is people getting the book, having the book, ingesting the book, you know. And I have this idea of like a study circle, or I should put an end on the end of circle, study circles, so that people can get together and read together and think and discuss the ideas. Because, you know, when two or more are gathered together, there's amplification. There's elevation. We can do things by ourselves, yes, but there's something special in connecting with other people around an idea. And so the discovery circle, I have what I have is these little tins, and inside each tin there are a number of quotations from the book, and there's a suggestion as to how you might lead a discovery circle. You know, like you might gather everyone together. You can sit on the floor. You can sit at the kitchen table. You know, you might want to take a deep breath. Let it in, let it out. Everybody do that a few times kind of together just to center ourselves. And so, you know, I kind of give a little description of a process like that. You might want to have a candle in the middle of the circle. I suggest that children in a family, for example, are invited to either participate or be present so that they are doing something quietly in the midst of the conversation and discussion because, you know, children are sponges. They will, even though you don't engage them verbally or they may not be able to articulate verbally what they're thinking, let's say you have a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old, they're getting it. They're feeling it. The feeling is very important. And so, you know, I envision families doing this together. I envision friends doing this together. And just taking my book, you know, you could just take my book and open it to a page. Let's see, I have my book here. I'm going to open to a page. 56. Okay. So I'm going to start reading a couple quotes, and I'm going to read some of the commentary as well. Excuse me. So let me explain the format of my book. So the quotations are from various people, Deepak Chopra, Oprah Winfrey, Florence Scovel Shin, Eckhart Tolle, Neville Goddard, you know, and on and on. And so I have these quotes from them. And then on the opposite page, I make a commentary that is my perspective on the quote. I may share a story from my life. Yeah, mostly that's what I do. But I also just give a commentary. And this book is a gift. It's a gift to me, you know? It's a gift to me. Yeah. So I want it to gift others. You know, I want it to be a gift to others. So here's the quote here. Every disaster, whether personal or a natural catastrophic event, holds seeds of rebirth. I'm going to say it one more time. Every disaster, whether personal or a natural catastrophic event, holds seeds of rebirth. Hallelujah. So, you know, so often when we go through a difficult time, a really hard experience, we are so pummeled, you know, by it. We are so devastated by it that it's hard to see our way through. It's hard to see the light. It's hard to believe that we're going to come out better on the other side.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you, you're going to come out better on the other side. It is, so what precipitated this book? Just going to say it, just going to lay it out. What precipitated this book is a breakup in my life. And I'm going to tell you, my husband walked away and I was like, we never had trouble. We always had a beautiful relationship. So when he left, quite abruptly, I was like, what in the world? What is happening? What? How could this be? I mean, it just took my head into such a place of confusion and devastation that you would not believe. And I had to work to keep myself from disintegrating. You know, I had to really work consciously to keep myself, because I said to myself, no, 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 no. No person, no situation is going to destroy you. Mm. You can't do that. You can't allow that to happen. Because there is nothing greater than God, than the divine in me and in the world. You know, there's nothing greater. So how can an individual have that impact? So I gathered my books together. I've been studying spirituality for many years. I gathered all my favorite books. I literally put them on the table beside my bed. And every day, every evening, every morning, I took a book, I began reading. And whenever I found something that really helped me with what I was going through, I wrote it down. I got a little notebook, and I wrote it down. And I found myself writing these notes. And sometimes I would even take a note that was really impactful, put it on a piece of paper in big marker, and put it on the wall. I mean, almost up to the ceiling. So when I wake up in the morning or lay down at night, I could see it. And this saved me. This saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in this process that I was made to remember who I really am. You know, these things that happen in the world to us, around us, you know, in us, they can sometimes be really huge and really like unbelievably painful. I never want to underestimate or overestimate how a circumstance can be so crushing. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, there are so many things people are going through. However, if we know in our heart of hearts that the divine is within us, in my mind and in the way I believe, then nothing is greater. Nothing is greater. So I can overcome. I can get through. I can get through it. So this quote, every disaster, whether personal or a catastrophic event, holds seeds of rebirth, is just so true. And now, Reverend Sandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Do I have time? I would like to read my commentary. Is there something you would like to say before I do that? Or?
Well, actually, it'll probably tie in since I do. So I'm listening to what you're saying about how your situation there, how your husband left abruptly. But I was also thinking, how the pandemic and how the sudden shift in our lives is still, I believe people are trying to, and I use the word trying purposely there, are still trying to put their lives back together some kind of way and not understanding that, you know, like you just were saying, it's all a process. So you can go forward, and it may even be better than what you had before, but it's a process. So you're just not going to jump from one thing to another. And that's what I found just so – that was like – it was so clear when you just said that to me. So thank you for that.
Yes, and what I want to comment on that is that change – we must begin to realize that change is an intimate part of life. It's like we can't escape it.
Mm-hmm.
Change. So when things change abruptly, especially abruptly, we have to change.
Right.
You know, it's like
exactly.
We have to be something different.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not easy. But it is
right.
Necessary.
Right.
It's necessary.
Right. Yeah.
And also, if we have faith, we can see, we can see that there can be something better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can see that
right.
there can be something better. But we do. We get so in a rut. We get so conditioned that it's hard for us sometimes to see something that's very different from where we've been.
Mm-hmm.
That difference can just kinds of doors that we're not able to see from this side. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So embrace change. That is one of the things that I learned, to embrace change. To expect change, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like
so,
that.
The commentary on that quote about, you know, every disaster and catastrophic event holding seeds of rebirth, here's the commentary. So I say in my book, I say, there may come a time in your life when you feel you cannot go on due to personal calamity, a broken relationship, a wayward child, financial disaster. In such times, you may lose hope and faith. This is when despair creeps in. When you don't have hope or faith, you become desperate. And at this point, you've hit rock bottom. Now, that there is nowhere to go but up is the wonderful truth. For it is here, in the bottom of the pit, that you meet your indomitable spirit. Here, in the unrelenting darkness, you find first the nerve to search, and secondly, miraculously, a mustard seed. Yeah, and if you've ever seen a mustard seed, they are so tiny. They are so tiny. Or maybe you see a very slight glimmer or a ladder which appeared to be nothing more than a very small edge. Know this, end always marks a new beginning. If you keep going, a way will present itself. A path emerges when you least expect it, providing a way out of no way. Our sorrows sometimes run so deep that we're certain the light will never return.
Right.
Those who suffer so, as from the tragic loss of a child, for example, may even feel they should not be happy, else guilt might set in and feel like they can't be happy anymore. Here's an analogy to this. It's interesting to note that despite the devastation of horrific wildfires, and what often appears to be a total loss, you have devastation of life, animal life, human life, you have mass destruction. Life returns and does so in an astounding succession and pattern of growth. It's like the intelligence of nature steps in, even after the devastation of a wildfire. So the first thing is wildflowers and weeds. They come first. Then drought-resistant grasses spring up. They can tolerate dry conditions. Next come the scrub trees, which are like little bushes that are very able to survive harsh conditions. These trees release needles and leaves, which enrich the soil. So more growth takes place. In the animal kingdom, now check this out. In the animal kingdom, heat-detecting insects. Heat-detecting insects find their way to the recently burned forest, and the succession continues. Like the forest, we too can be restored.
Wow. I love that.
So this is the kind of thing that was revealed to me as I was reading these books by my bedside. And so I had to look at myself and I had to say to myself, it's not the end of the world.
Yes, yes.
I can recover. And, you know, and I have to admit, it was intellectual at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just had to keep telling myself, I can recover. I'm going to be all right. And one of the things that I really didn't want to do was be angry. I did not want to be angry and bitter, because those are feelings that eat away at you emotionally. And our emotions are connected to our body. So, you know, it's all connected. So I just refused to be angry and bitter. And the way that I was able to do that was to wonder with genuine wonder, curiosity, and wanting to understand what happened. Why did he walk away the way he walked away? Why didn't he sit down and talk to me? How could that have happened? This is a man who bought me flowers and cards and opened the door for me. And I can just go on and on about how he provided for me and my family. So his departure was just like, I was like, what? How could, yeah, no, no. And so my willingness to be curious and to want to understand is also what helped me. Because that bitterness and resentfulness, they can take a hold of you, you know?
Right.
They can hold you in a dark place. It's very important to allow that to dissolve, you know? Sometimes you got to take a bad feeling, a difficult feeling, and hold it in your arms. You got to look at it, embrace it, and be with it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you're bringing such a comforting thought to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and again, I'm going to take this back to the pandemic, because I genuinely do not believe that there are sufficient numbers of people that are healed from the traumas that occurred in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our lives during that time that has been addressed. And so we're walking around with all this angst on the inside of us, not understanding, you know, like, why am I feeling like this? You know, why am I afraid, or why am I pissed off? Why am I angry with that person? You know, and so for you to come with your steadfast position of not being angry and not taking that low vibration of a reaction to what was going on. And that has got to be one of the highest emotional type of triggers that one could go through, you know. And for you to be so adamant about it not being a situation which would turn into something negative or to cause you anger or strife or any of that, that's just admirable to me. And I really love the idea of applying that tool, what you're giving us, to anything that happens, and especially those things, as in your case, that you had no control. You didn't orchestrate it like that. You know, it just, and none of us had any power or, you know, anything where we could have changed the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, it's life, it's what's happening. But the more important question is, how do we deal with it? And you have provided such a beautiful, beautiful resolve to that. Like, don't get upset. Don't get angry.
Yeah.
Take it in your arms and rock it. You know, yeah, I love it. I love it.
You know, it requires a kind of, and I'm going to credit my mother. My mother always used to say, there's good in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You may not see it, you know, on the surface, but everyone is worthy. Everyone is worthwhile. There's good in everything and everyone. Find the good. Find it, she would say.
Right.
And I really took that to heart as a child. I really did. And as I've been talking and listening to you as well, I'm thinking about my husband and how I so much loved him and still do and believe in him. And that love caused me to stop and look and listen. Even though he wasn't able to articulate very well what was going on. It was very strange. I could do a whole couple hours on that. But I believe, you know, the person that he was someone that I admired and respected deeply. And so I was like, oh, something's going on here that I don't know anything about. It's something that I'm not clear about. And it didn't necessarily have to be his feelings toward me. It turned out to be something having to do with our family and how he felt with my children who were, I don't know, 15, 18, 20s, in that range. You know, all of that is what precipitated his departure. But he couldn't even articulate it.
Right,
now, it took several years to get... to get to a point where all this came out. And I could have long walked away. You know what I mean? Like, we're together again.
Well, that's beautiful.
It is. I'm very happy about it. But it was because I just felt like I had to be patient. I had to try to understand what was going on and give him a chance to understand himself what was going on within him. And that took a few years, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking about the pandemic and about residual feelings that people may have. I mean, everybody had a different experience. People lost loved ones. People lost people who were very close to them. People lost income. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that disturb, you know, the family, disturb people, period. It's, what's the word for it? You know, like an earthquake. It's just right. everything kind right. of was shaken up.
Like a tsunami.
And it is. Say that again.
It's like a tsunami.
Yes, exactly. And when the tsunami is gone, when the earthquake is gone, when the fire is gone, it's time for us to, you know, think about, okay, now, how to proceed, you know? How to proceed?
Right.
Can we proceed with joy? Can we proceed with innovation, creativity? Can we proceed without hanging on to the pain? That doesn't mean you should cover it up or not feel it. It's very important to acknowledge it and, you know, go through it. But sometimes we hold on to pain. You know, we almost like carry it with us. And
right,
that's what
right.
we don't want to do. Yeah. Because the energy of peace and love and joy attracts more of the same. And
right.
so the more we can raise our vibration to a place of love and forgiveness, understanding, the more we're going to attract those very same things. Vice versa, the more we are standing in anger, anxiety, resentment, and unforgiveness, that's a low vibration, and we are going to attract the similar, the same vibration, the same energy. So this is why, you know, this is why I think meditation is important, and you don't have to sit with your legs crossed on the floor. You just need to give yourself space, time, quiet, a quiet place. So you can breathe through some of the, you know, challenging emotions. And breathe in, breathe out the bad stuff, breathe in the good stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Part of the process. And I don't mean to be simplistic, but it's part of the process. So if I have time.
Though.
Yeah. It's very necessary.
So necessary. Yeah. And, you know, we're taught to microwave everything, you know, so we don't get the experience of going through, you know, and coming to a resolve like you did. You know, we're just going to rush through it, you know, because we don't have time to turn the oven on and, you know, mix up the ingredients and put them in a pan and then put it in there and allow it to cook for longer than, you know, 10 seconds or something. So
a
lot of us have no idea what that looks like and how to accomplish that. So this is very important for us to be having this discussion. And like I said, for me, I'm seeing more and more people that are having these residual effects from the lockdown, you know, the terror, the trauma that was put on people's minds and hearts about how they were living and, you know, some of the requirements were just so abnormal to me. You know, that's my category of it. But, and people still are having issues with it. You know, we're still having to deal with it. So this is a very timely discussion because I believe that people want to be better and that they're like crying out for help, but they're not sure when help is coming. So this right here is help indeed. So thank you for this.
That's wonderful. Let me say this about that. one of the things I believe we have to do when we come to a point of a drastic change is take inventory of who we are, you know, really look at ourselves and think about what we want. It's a great opportunity. You know, it's a great opportunity to get off the treadmill and think about ourselves and what our strengths are. We all have them. We all have strengths. We all have skills, things that we are naturally inclined toward or naturally good at. And so we need to take an inventory of that and begin to design a life that we would enjoy. Design a life mm-hmm. that you would love. Get that picture in your head. Get that on the wall. You know what I mean? Like, create that. And then
right.
you might have to keep working at some job that you don't particularly like. Okay. All right. Well, you do that, you know. But in the meantime, you get that subconscious working for you. And you create this life that you, and, you know, it needs to be real. It can't be, you know, some fluffy duffy. It has to be something that's good for you and your family and the community. It, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to serve in some way.
Right.
But it's important to have that, to be clear about who you are and what you're good at, because a lot of times that just gets, you know, thrown to the side and we find ourselves in a job or in a position that we just don't like at all but don't know how to get
mm-hmm.
out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the process of getting out of it or changing is creating in your mind what it is you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because that energy, see, when you begin to see it and feel it, it begins to draw things to you, y'all. It's like, you know, in a way it's magic, but really it's not. It's science. It's
mm-hmm.
the science of the universe. It's the way the universe works, you know? So you create that image, that picture, that idea of yourself, and start to generate energy around it. You'd be so surprised at what begins to happen. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, so... Here's a good quote. It's kind of dovetailing
okay.
to what I was just saying. All right, so here's another quote from my book. It says, "Inherent in every desire are the mechanics for its fulfillment."
Hmm.
Inherent in every desire are the mechanics for its fulfillment. In other words, you're not going to have a vision or a desire and not have any clue anywhere, anyhow, how to do it. It's in you.
Yeah.
It may not come right away. It may come in bits and pieces. But it is there. The how-to is it's present. You know, I have a friend who used to say, "Amikiyasu." I said, "Well, I don't know how to..." And she'd say, "That's not your business." She'd say, "The
mm-hmm.
how-to is not your business." And I would look at
okay.
her like, "Well, what she was saying is we have to learn to give ourselves over to the universe. We have
mm-hmm.
to learn to create the vision, know what we want, know who we are, and then know that it is in fertile ground. See, the ground, you know, when you plant a seed, it doesn't sprout like immediately, you know. It doesn't
right.
sprout the next day, or it doesn't sprout in the next 2 seconds. It has to do its work. It has to,
mm-hmm.
things have to begin to happen in the dark where you can't see it. And it's true of us as well.
Right.
Our ideas
right.
and desires, once we, you know, see them, once they become clear in our mind, then we have to allow them to just be. And while they're being, they're actually growing, incubating,
mm-hmm.
drawing
mm-hmm.
energy unto themselves, so that they can sprout. So there's this process, you know, it's important right. for us to have faith in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's deep.
Some people, you know, and we all are a little, we all have our little way of doing things, you know. My husband is a nutritionist, and he's really knowledgeable. And I keep wanting him to, you know, put down some things in writing and write down exactly what he wants to. He wants to teach, and he wants to share this information. And, you know, I'm like, well, here, I read this article. They got thousands of dollars in grants, and they want to do things in the community. But he's not going to go at my pace. You know, he has to go at his, not only his pace, but in the way that he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't really instruct him. Much as I may feel like, well, wow, why isn't he doing this? Well, why isn't he doing that? You know, maybe somebody else I'm thinking about, a friend who has a thing that they want to do, and I'm thinking, oh, she should do this, this, and this. But, you know, everybody needs to stay in their lane, because the energy of each person is so powerful and so distinct and unique that they have their way, and that way mm-hmm. is the way, you know, for them.
Right.
For them. It's the way for them.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and so I'm watching my husband, and he's like, things come to him. I'm serious. Things just come to him. He doesn't pursue mm-hmm. things. And I'm like, wow. So he's helping
to awesome.
Reinforce the things that I know and, you know, that I'm working on in my life, but he helps reinforce them because it's just demonstrated right before my eyes.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mhm. Yeah. It's very interesting. So I want to say, I don't know how much more time we have. How much more time do we have?
30 minutes. I know, right?
Oh, okay.
I stopped looking at the clock and everything.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. So. I'm going to read my commentary on this quote. This quote,
okay.
Inherent in every desire are the mechanics for its fulfillment. Okay, so here's my commentary. The acceptance of the end wills the means. You know, I never understood that until recently. The acceptance of the end wills the means. The means will come about by virtue of what it is you desire. And if we stay the course, the universe will deliver the people, experiences, finances, everything needed to fulfill our deepest desires.
Hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, it sounds magical, and in a way it is, but it's also scientific. It's how the universe works. Much is going on that we cannot see. So much more to life than meets the eye. So do not allow your dependence on visible, concrete facts to cause you to retreat or give up on a cherished dream. The unified field is constantly, that is God, the universe, source, energy, is constantly churning out what we have in mind. And the mind is vast. So our mind is not just what's in this head or in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
mind is all of the cosmos, you know. Our minds are no small part of infinite mind. And this is the key to all doors. To know that the mind is no small part of infinite mind, of God's mind. When
mm-hmm.
we have a clear vision and set our intentions for that vision, the universe responds and begins to organize on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're listening right now, you have got to go to YouTube and check this out. Oprah Winfrey Masterclass Surrender. Oprah Winfrey talks about how she got in the color purple. And it is just such a fascinating story. It's a story of her desire to be an actress, her finding out about the play and the script, her getting the script in her hands, her being clear that she, to be in this film and play a particular part, oh, she was so clear.
Wow.
She even auditioned for it, but they did not call her. Month after month after month, she called them and they said, don't you call us, we call you. That's what they told Oprah Winfrey, right?
Right, right.
She was devastated, devastated, and she had to let go. She had to let go. And I'm not going to tell the rest.
Okay,
but it's,
okay.
It's a heck of a story. And all you have to do is go to YouTube, put in Oprah Winfrey and Surrender. And that video will come up. And it's short. It's only 10 or 12 minutes. But it tells
okay.
all this. Yeah. Yeah. It,
well,
it,
I know that
it
to
helps.
Be factual, you
yeah.
know, and that things do happen like that. So I'm curious to take a look at it, too. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the quotes that is at the beginning of my book is, far greater is that which is in you than that
mm-hmm.
which is in the world. And on the opposite page, my commentary is simply, say that 1,000 times a day. Far greater is that which is in me
right.
than that which is in the world. Far greater is that which is in me than that which is in the world. The
yes,
world sometimes gets a hold of us. You know, whatever we're going through seems so big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So big. It always seems so much bigger than us, but it's not. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. And it's
yeah.
a heck of an illusion. Yeah.
And all of and most of our messages reinforce that illusion as well.
That's right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It, that, and again, I'm going to say it again. That's why it's so important to touch in with yourself on a regular basis.
Right.
Because we need the fortitude. We need the inner strength to maintain our well-being, our sanity, our mental health. It's I don't know how you can maintain your mental health without having that time, that quiet time with yourself.
I agree with you.
Yeah. You know, and you can,
that
time can be deep breathing. It can be with a book that's inspiring to you. You know, it can be walking slowly in your backyard, just taking in the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find your sweet spot.
Indeed. I was sharing that with a young lady at the gym today. So I don't spend, I spend adequate time in the sauna, and I make sure that I don't overdo, you know, heat deprivation is not really good for the body and for your mental state. But sitting in the sauna at a fair amount of time does help with your mental health. And so I was explaining, you know, some of those things to her, and she was like, well, yeah, the only thing I think is better than the sauna is prayer. And I was like, oh, I like that. I said, but you know you can pray in there too, right? You know, so it's just how we look at things.
Yes.
yes. that limits them.
How we look at
mm-hmm.
how we look at things. And that leads us to the next quote. So there's another quote in my book, which says this: you can bless or curse yourself with the thoughts you think. You know, our minds, I'm telling you, they are the key. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is a powerful statement. And
mm-hmm.
renewing the mind every day, self-renewal. It's absolutely necessary, because we just carry the old stuff with us day after day after day, and it really builds up, you know?
And sometimes you have to do it several times.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, during the day.
Yeah, I began to understand, you know, the Muslims pray 5 times a day.
Right.
And I understand now. I understand it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
By the time you've gotten out the house to your job or school or whatever it is, you've gone off the rail already. <You know?
laughs> For real. Traffic
traffic, some,
you know,
counter from the morning or
yep,
some other
yep.
situation that's disturbing you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We need 5 times prayer, 5 times a day.
At minimum. Bare minimum.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And so I want to open it up for any of our listeners that have a comment, a question that would like to direct that to you, Amakiasu. So if
okay.
you're not already in the studio, our number here is 516-531-9819. And once you call in and get connected, you would need to hit the 1 on whatever device that you're using to let us know you would like to speak live with us on air. Otherwise, we're going to keep going because we still have the discovery circles that Amakiasu is premiering with us tonight, and how they're going to work, and
mm-hmm.
how to be in contact with her about that. So, again, I just want to open up. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to call us at 516-531-9819, and then make sure you hit the 1 once you are connected to the studio. All right, ma'am.
Okay. And so this quote that I was referring to, you can bless or curse yourself with the thoughts you think. My commentary is this. This one's a little longer than some. I could have easily blamed myself for my husband's departure.
Mm-hmm.
Since he left with no explanation at all, my thoughts went every which way. What did I do? You know, the proverbial victim thing. What did
mm-hmm.
I do? How long were these things out of whack for him? Why was I so blind? Would he have left it if I had been more sexy, more helpful, more talkative, more fill in the blanks? I was trying to find fault with myself. Self-blame, however, would have been a way of cursing myself. You can bless or curse yourself with the thoughts you think.
Hmm.
I knew that cursing myself or blaming myself was dangerous territory.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to take whatever responsibility lay with me. We had such a good relationship that I had trouble uncovering my pitfalls or my shortcomings. My friends and family kept saying, something's up with him, it's not you. Anyway, I had to fight for my peace and sanity, brandishing my way through the thorns and brambles of confusion, shame, and self-debasement. I was saved by not giving in to the little me, the victim mentality. The victim mentality is so easy for us to slip into. The God of my being held firm, however, and I worked for it by feeding myself spiritual nourishment constantly. And that's back to that stack of books next to my bed.
Right, right.
So if you are suffering or not suffering, it is largely a result of your thinking and your emotional timber. Your life, what's happening in your life, is a result of your thinking and emotional timber. Your inner workings, your consciousness, creates your personal milieu, call it, your personal atmosphere or internal climate. In other words, our thoughts and how we interpret and perceive things, this or that, are creating our energetic field, including our mood and our suffering. Harmful thoughts and emotions sometimes chase one another down a dark spiral, and the deeper we go, the harder it is to reverse uphill. Renewed faith and your insistence on seeing beyond circumstance. Now that word circumstance, circum means around, and stance means where you're standing. That which is standing around you. Renewed faith and your insistence on seeing beyond that which is standing around you can help you take the hill and surmount it, accessing the light from within. This light, your God self, never runs out. It's always there. It will illuminate your path. It will protect you, comfort you, and make a way for you. It is your true knight in shining armor, your very own light. Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Ooh, this has been a powerful, powerful inner resolve day. Seriously, you know, like just allowing that door to crack open a little bit, you know, and I hope that that is the reality for those that are here with us and those that will hear it in the future. Because we must ask those questions that you're giving to us, Kiasu. So, I mean, it's just so necessary. So absolutely necessary. With or without the traumas, you know, you still need to pose these questions to that authentic self, to that rich that resides within each of us. So tell us how the discovery circle. So how is that going to work? With using the book, or do you have like a method that you've created thus far? And you guys understand, she told you she didn't quite complete it when she called me, but when she called me, I'm like, okay, well, let's go on the air with it, you know? So, but how did you envision that they would work together?
Okay, so. Initially, what I was thinking, to be honest, initially, like when the book was first released, I had this thought, as well as other people who were reading the book, that it would be great to have little groups around the book and study the book together. And then more recently, as I began to think about my upcoming trip to Atlanta, because I now live in Pittsburgh, so I'm coming to Atlanta next month. And
okay,
the Malcolm X Festival. Yeah, the Malcolm X Festival will be going on. And I was trying to think, well, should I have a table? Is it worth it? The table costs X, Y, and Z. Will I be able to sell that many books? You know, that whole thing. And I said to myself, is there something else I could also sell beside my book? And this idea of this little treasure chest tin or sachet came into my mind, like, boom. And I thought, well, I could sell it for $6. And, you know, a person doesn't have to buy the book right away. Maybe they can't buy the book. Maybe they can buy the little tin. And they get, like, 20 quotes and a few affirmations. At the end of my book, there's also affirmations. I'll read a few of those before we close. So this little tin, which I'm holding in my hand right now, became a really central thought for me for a few days there. But I hadn't quite figured out how to use it. And so in my mind right now, what I'm thinking is anyone who buys the book from, I only have one, well, Greenbrier Mall's Nia Damali's Medu bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall has my book.
But
she doesn't have the tins. And I might be able to provide her with them. I just don't know if she's willing because I have to have a conversation. But I do have an outlet in East Point with Oyun's Botanical Garden. And you can go online and look her up. She's on Washington Road. She has a beautiful spot. She does meditation. She does full moon sessions. She does counseling. She has a market twice a month. She has a beautiful, it's beautiful. And she's beautiful. Well, she will have my book, and she will have some of the tins, a supply of tins. If you buy my book, you get a tin for free. If you don't buy my book, you can buy one of the tins for $6.
Okay.
So that's the only place right now that I know I can have them. You know, so over time, I hope to, you know, expand because I really would like for people, I mean, the tin is designed, I mean, the main purpose of it was to try to do something a little different to get people to do a circle. So that is really the work. The work is connecting with three or four people, five or six people, and saying, look, this book is really good. And I want to spend the next 2 months reading it together. You know, can you come to my house every Sunday at 11 o'clock or every other Sunday or every Saturday at 4 or whatever it is, you know? Let's make a commitment. Are you willing to do this? Do you have a friend who would be interested? How interested are you in your spiritual, you know, development, your spiritual growth? And can we take the time to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's required, you know, that's the real deal. This little tin doesn't mean anything, you know what I mean?
Okay.
What really means something, yeah, what really means something is people wanting to just have a kind of like a spiritual family, you know?
Right.
It's a spiritual family, a little support family in the spirit. In the Buddhist space.
No, I was going to ask, are the tins, are they available now or you are waiting until next month when you come to Atlanta?
Yes, they'll be available when I come to Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They're not quite ready. I'm working on them.
Got you.
Yeah. So I think I put May 20th somewhere, but that's my goal to have them, you know, ready by then.
Okay.
Yeah. In stores, no. maybe eventually. Say that again?
I was just going to tell the audience that's how fast life, love, and wellness operate. As soon as the thought goes out, then we're creating a show around it. So,
well, you know, it may be, I don't know, you know, it's like, I don't know if I would have initiate, I didn't know how to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have any idea to create these book circles, especially because I've moved to Pittsburgh in the last 6 months, and I'm not in Atlanta where I know people.
Right.
So it's a little more challenging for me. At least in Atlanta, I had, 20, 30, 40 people who have my book.
Right.
Here in Pittsburgh, there's, 5 or 6. So I hadn't figured out how to do this. So this is helping me think through it a little bit and create avenues, for this to happen. I think it's very important. I think it's very important. Yeah.
It's called expansion.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to, many years ago, when I was fairly new to Atlanta, like in the late 80s, early 90s, I had several people who we would meet with, like, religiously. We would meet every Sunday and study spirituality and education and the intersection between the two.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was in starting a school, as was a couple other people in the group. Well, all of us were. But we wanted the school to have a spiritual foundation. And talking through all that, it was a lot.
Right.
So I'm very amenable, amenable to that kind of thing, and it was just so important that we did it, we had to do it. We had children, some of us had young children, we were like, we're not going to send them to public school, we really were wanting to create an alternative. And that has given me a history of spiritual study, with others. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's not always, there's some bumps in the road, too.
Oh, I know. Even with people that, you normally have a very cohesive relationship with, and we don't have to agree on everything, but a lot of times we don't have a methodology to use to handle those times when we don't. So,
exactly.
Well, how can we get your book?
So my book is on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. The publisher of the book is, well, it's self-published, but it was printed by Balboa Press. So you can go to any of those outlets, as well as Medu Bookstore in Atlanta at the Greenbrier Mall. My website is splendentbooks.com. That's splendent, splendentbooks.com. And I really encourage you to go to my website, because there's a lot of information on the site about my book and about me, about my childhood, about writing the book, my train ride. I took an epic train ride, not to write, but to think and to be alone. And but the book started, taking shape on that trip. So that's in there. It's a nice website. I'm very happy with the person who designed it. And I think you will enjoy it. There's also a way to contact me through the website. So if you are interested in a discovery circle or, anything, any questions you have, you can address them through the website, through the contact form.
Okay. Well, this has been such an exciting discussion with you, and how it is so much a necessary conversation even as we're speaking, because of the times that we're in and how, like with so many other of the dramas that that we've experienced, and mm-hmm. not by our own actions, but we've had to live with the consequences of them, you know, and things move so quickly away from it like it never happened. And, you know, you're sitting there like, I know it did. Because I was here,
right.
You know. So the tools that you're giving us are very helpful in being able to go back and, you know, just to knock that thing upside its head, you know, like, no, I've got this. You don't have control of me anymore. So I really appreciate that part of it because it can be very, very daunting to people, you know, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left, and you know, you were talking about your mom a while back, and so I want to play a song that my nephew Anthony, aka King, that he had he recorded her a lot of times, the things that she was saying, and so he did this. He made her transition back in 2017. But just to show you how your words can have a lasting impact. So I want to play this real quick, and then we'll come back and close out with you.
All right, so tell the world one of your stories. I don't care which one. Tell us a secret.
I don't have no secrets. All I can tell you, you got to learn to love. Got to learn to love. And when you start loving, love everybody, not one person. Love everybody.
Oh, my God.
Everybody.
I want love is everything. Love is everything to me.
Love everybody.
I need love. Love is everything to me. Be nice to everybody. Treat people the way you wanna be treated. Everything will be alright. Gotta treat people right. Everybody's got a right to love and have it feel the way you wanna feel inside.
Love everybody.
I want love.
People do you wrong.
That's got love in a little harder than when you don't love at all, because you don't take a person to love. Love everybody.
Oh, my past love.
So I just wanted to play that as a tribute to my nephew, my mom, and to life, your mom, and, you know, all that we go through and how we, you know, like with your discovery circles with family and friends, that's just so important because that's the essence of who we are. And that's where we're going to find our healing and our hope and rediscover that love that we all have so deeply inside of us. So thank you so much, Alma Kiasu. I swear this was so beautiful. I appreciate you. And you have really opened up our eyes in a whole new direction. And I'm thankful that you are staying committed to the assignments that you're being given in this life. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Reverend Sandy. Thank you for your wonderful work and your wonderful soul. Do I have time for a couple of affirmations, or are we out of time?
We're out of time, but you can do one.
Okay. I can do one.
Yes, ma'am.
I am experiencing right now is perfect for my evolution into wholeness.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm experiencing right now.
Yes.
Right now.
No matter how ugly it is, okay?
Yeah, that's what, you know, like, don't pretty it up, y'all. Don't put no makeup on it.
Yeah. It's perfect for your evolution into wholeness.
Wholeness.
Yeah.
And that's a big word right there. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're just a couple of minutes, couple of seconds over, so we're good. But So the next time you call me with your next project, let me know.
Okay.
And we'll have you back on the radio again so that you can give us these wonderful nuggets. I'm so serious, man. My mind is in such a different space right now. And it's all beautiful because it's a part of the process.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Yeah. I hope others benefited from it as well, from our
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I'll see you when you get to town next
All right,
month,
I look
okay?
forward to the next time. Okay.
All right, then. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye. And you guys, we have one more show this month. It's next week. It's the fifth Tuesday, actually, of April. So make sure you tune in 9:00 Eastern Standard Time. And we have a young lady, Sister Latifa Hassan, who's going to be coming on talking to us about herbs in your kitchen cabinet. Can't miss it, y'all. Can't miss it. All right. Good night. And y'all stay safe.
Bye. Bye.